Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Monday. Thanks for being with us. We have a jam-packed show today. Michael Fabiano. It is that time of year where fantasy football with the NFL Network's own Michael Fabiano, he joins us in September weekly here in August. I don't want to do fantasy every week. So we'll have Michael on this week and in a couple of weeks to go through the fantasy football guys. That is what drives the NFL is fantasy football. Let's not kid each other. Gambling and fantasy football. We've been doing them here since we launched back in 2012. Fantasy football, gambling. Jimmy Vaccaro, Michael Fabiano, two of the best in the business. But today we'll have Fabs with us. NFL Network senior fantasy analyst, Kyler Murray. What's going on with Todd Gurley? Who are some guys to stay away from? If you have questions, you can hit me up on Twitter at Brad Sesmatt, and I will shoot those questions over to Michael. That comes up at 10:20. Yogi Roth will be with us today, Pac-12 Network analyst, good friend of the show. He will Skype in. Today, John Wilner, who does a terrific job. If there's certain people that I encourage, you should spend money on them. You really should. And John Wilner is one of those. And I'm going to ask Yogi about this. John wrote this morning a column about the 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. start games. He's got five games that he believes are going to be on the radar in November, or key games. And guess what? Arizona State is two of the five. And he has a quote from Herm Edwards on these early start times. And when I tell you the details, I'm going to sit here, and I'm not one every week to say, see, I told you so. But when I tell you the details, I will just tell you that the thought of fans going to games doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't. TV drives all. If you're stuck in the past of saying, well, you got to have packed stadiums, good luck with that, because when the decimal points move and the zeros come down, when I tell you as part of this mechanism, usually what happens with John is he gets a tip, and he gets a few tips. And the quote that Herm Edwards gave him that I'm about to read you, you'll be like, oh, wow, really? Yeah. So we'll talk with Yogi Roth about the early starts. ASU is going to Camp Tonizona this week. U of A is already in their second week with Kevin Sumlin in Tucson. The Noel Mazzoni, Khalil Tate, marriage or not. How's that working out so far from Yogi's view? And I really just like Yogi Roth. I've got a couple other things that are a little bit oddball stuff that I want to get to as well. We're brought to you by the good people at Sagicornell. Protect what matters most, and that is with Sagicornell. So Friday, I'm having coffee with a friend, longtime friend. This friend's in the broadcast business. We're just sitting there talking about, you know, how things are going and some ideas that he's kicking around for a show. And out of the clear blue sky, he says, hey, I want to talk to you about my life insurance at some point. I've got a term policy. I know that's not the best way to go. I've got more kids now. I just haven't had time to look at it. Would you have some time? Yes. We're not going to do it right here at a coffee shop in the middle of our conversation. It's going to be several conversations about where it is you want to go. I have my license, so I'm able to help him. And the good people at Sagicornell can get him across the finish line. How about you? All right. When was the last time you took a good, hard, long look at your personal situation and said, I got everything in place? All right. If you didn't wake up tomorrow morning, if you didn't come home tonight, would everything be handled? Because none of us know when we get out of here. It's that simple. Sagicornell, protect what matters most. Do it with Sagicornell. We appreciate Sagicornell and their support. Michael Fabiano here shortly. I think the best story of the weekend. Well, there's two stories today. The Philly Fanatic is suing, trying to get out of being the Philly Fanatic, and this could be all PR or it could be a real deal. If the Philly Fanatic becomes a free agent, then I would say to Derek Hall and Ken Kendrick, spend, spend, spend. D. Baxter is a very nice cat. That's it. He's not the Philly, or she is not the Philly Fanatic. End of statement. If the Philly Fanatic's available, guys, go spend money on the Philly Fanatic and bring the Philly Fanatic here. It will instantly, the most entertaining mascot out there since the chicken. And I had the chicken in San Diego. This guy, girl, whoever, is far more entertaining. The Raiders announced about 10 minutes ago. Eric, you're going to like this story. The Raiders announced about 10 minutes ago that their new stadium in Las Vegas is going to be named Allegiant Stadium. $1.9 billion stadium named after Allegiant Airlines. Those of us that have flown Allegiant Airlines, those of us that are 6 feet eight, that try to fold up on a flight on Allegiant, it's just a blast. Let me tell you how much fun it is. You flew Allegiant?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Are they $1.9 billion company to you, the way that they come across, Allegiant?
With their flight prices, I don't know how they could be, because that's about the only good thing about the Allegiant flights in some cases.
But. They charge for oxygen and water and yeah. the size of your bag and the size of your feet and
but
the size of the
That is a great stadium to be attached to if you are going to be the title sponsor, because I'm guessing there's probably going to be some pretty big events that come to that Las Vegas stadium besides the Raiders.
And Allegiant Airlines is hubbed in Vegas.
Okay.
That's their main hub.
That would make sense.
And we fly out of one of our partners, Gateway Airport. We have flown Allegiant. I am stunned that they're naming this stadium after Allegiant Airlines. I think our friend Ralph Amsden said they're always going to be playing nickel defense now, which is pretty good.
That's well said.
Yeah, that's well said. What about the Philly Fanatic? Derek, open up the pocketbook. Let's get D. Baxter retired off the... Come on, man. You don't like the Fanatic?
I do like the Fanatic.
Give me a better mascot than the Fanatic.
The San Diego Chicken.
Okay, give me a better mascot than the Chicken.
I mean, some would argue the Gorilla.
So when the Gorilla was... When the Gorilla had something to cheer for, right?
Yeah.
And when the Gorilla had a new building and had... Super superstars, different time. Gorilla killed it.
He did.
Yeah. Now, it's not that I don't like the Gorilla. It's just it's hard to have a mascot out there when you're getting your head kicked in every night.
Right.
Baseball, though, is a different deal. There's 81 home games. I mean, D. Baxter comes out, and is there any excitement, thrill, cheer? D. Baxter goes out to a public appearance. It's nice. It's Cat. Got it. Philly Fanatic comes out. Come on, man. You don't know what's going to happen. That's. Could you imagine the Philly Fanatic like dropping the Phillies and saying, I am going to be the Red Sox Fanatic, or I'm going to be the Mariner Fanatic? This is one of my favorite stories.
I guess the whole costume and shtick could travel from
wherever.
Philly to wherever, right?
Well, it used to be
and
the
just
San
fill in
Diego
the blank Fanatic.
So the story of the Chicken in San Diego is a radio guy named Ted Gianulis, and Ted was on the air at KGB, which was a rock station in San Diego. It's like KSLX out here, and every year they would do a sky show, and they still do sky shows and shoot off fireworks. But so Ted Gianulis went through his legal stuff and became known simply as the Chicken rather than the San Diego Chicken. Thus, he could go out and he could appear at all sorts of places and do his thing. It was really interesting to see him just take that and run with it. So both those stories I really like. Let me get over to John Wilner real quick. So John Wilner today on his hotline, which is one of the best reads every week. 2 weeks ago, he wrote about how the Pac-12 was experimenting, looking at, thinking about a 9 a.m. kickoff in future seasons. Well, then Larry Scott came out at Media Day and said that he wants to do 9 a.m. kickoffs this year. So that happened. So now we're at a point where Herm Edwards came out and said, quote, if a college student, there's still Friday night, what do they do on Friday nights? Are they available Saturday morning at 9 a.m. after Friday night? You go from tailgate and hot dogs, barbecue to waffles and pancakes. I get why they're talking about that because you get the East Coast presence now watching them. But how is it going to affect the stadium? I don't know that. I can tell Herm how it's going to affect the stadium. There's not going to be very many people there, and it doesn't matter. The Pac-12 network, this is according to John Wilner this morning, is saying that the six-day window, so what the six-day window means is the Pac-12 will come out. Eric, you know the six-day window, right? The Pac-12 will come out and say, 6 days from now, these are the start times of the games, and these are the games that are going to kick off at this start time. So what happens to the fans that bought their tickets months and months and months in advance? They're going to fly in, and all of a sudden the start time changes. And you only have 6 days to plan. A lot of people are creatures of habit. I'm only going to games that happen at 7:30 at night. Well, no, that's not happening here with Fox. The six-day window on a Sunday. Yeah, this Saturday's ASU game has been changed to kick off at 10 a.m. That's how it will go down. And when people call and they complain and they get mad and they threaten to take their season ticket money away, it really doesn't matter because the TV contract pays so much more than the 50,000, 40,000 that are in the stadium. It just does. Whether you like it or not, whether this is how you've always done it, this is where sports is going. So John went an extra step. Given all the parameters and comments from the Pac-12 coaches, the AD at Colorado's talked about this. He's identified five games that could be candidates for early kickoffs. The first one is Arizona State at Utah. Makes a lot of sense. Potentially a very alluring matchup. Both teams, this is in October. Both teams are right in the midst of it, it would seem, in the midst of October. 9 a.m. kickoff, 10 a.m. in Salt Lake City. People would go to that game. It's Salt Lake City. Are they going to be out partying on Friday night? Probably not. Doesn't matter. Utah football, big deal. The second game he lists is Arizona State hosting USC on November 9th. It would be a 10 a.m. game. John doesn't just idly throw darts. These are the people that are giving him these dates and these games. That's how it works. A 10 a.m. game in November at Sun Devil Stadium would be great, in my opinion. If we remember, ASU played Washington in an 11 a.m. game with Todd Graham years ago, and there are very few people there, and there are people that bitched and moaned about it. It didn't matter. So I'm sorry if I'm sounding like I'm just on the TV side, but I am. This is big business. Really interesting story. All right, Michael Fabiano is next. All things fantasy football. From the best NFL Network senior fantasy analyst, Michael Fabiano. Our first deep dive, that's on the other side. Excited now to turn our attention to a deep dive on fantasy football with the best. That's Michael Fabiano, NFL Network senior fantasy analyst. Another year of talking with Michael. Very much looking forward to it. What is new on your end, Mr. Fabiano, as we kick off another season?
Well, I got some exciting news. NFL Fantasy Live is going to be moving up to the 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific window right before NFL Total Access on NFL Network starting September 2nd. That's a big deal for us.
Yeah.
So we're really excited about that, to be able to get in there right before our flagship show on the NFL Network. That's very exciting. And we also have a new app, which you've got to check out. I can't get into all of the new features, but there are some that are just unbelievable and not available on any other app. So if you're not playing on NFL.com, you should be. And if you are, make sure you check out the new app because it's very cool. It's got a lot of cool features.
Okay, so you must be doing something right, right? I mean, you must be really good.
I mean,
you're a big deal.
I hope so.
Moving up time slots. It's not like you're blowing wind here, you know.
We're doing our best, man. that's all we can do. And, it's going to be an exciting season.
Michael Fabiano with us, NFL Network senior fantasy analyst. All right, let's get right into the running backs this season. So I'm going to throw a name at you. You can give me a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Stay away. It's all going to work out. Let's just start with Todd Gurley and your view of Todd Gurley, draft status, Todd Gurley moving forward.
So I have him as a second-round pick now. And to be honest with you, a lot of the mocks that I'm doing and even some of the real drafts, which I don't do many right now, but I have done a couple, he's falling to me at the end of the second round, and I can't not take him.
Yeah.
And I get it. There's concern after what happened at the end of last season and the addition of Darrell Henderson. But at the end of the day, the addition of Henderson might actually be a good thing because it's going to keep Gurley out on the football field and – healthier maybe than he's been, because he has seen a lot of touches over the last two seasons. And there's been talk that Sean McVay could potentially use Henderson as a Chris Thompson sort of weapon as a pass catcher out of the backfield. Now, I know people who know Todd. His knee is good to go right now. Mm-hmm. Now, is there a chance that he could miss time during the regular season, which would allow Henderson a bigger opportunity? As a rookie, absolutely. But football is a tough game. There's no player out there who isn't at risk for some sort of injury, and maybe Gurley's past knee issues move him up a little bit in terms of likelihood to re-injure, but he's been the elite running back in fantasy football for two straight seasons, and as a late second round pick, I feel like he's worth the risk. Now, if you do draft Gurley, you want to try and target Henderson,
yep.
But he's going in the sixth or seventh round, believe it or not. So Henderson is going to either be boom or bust. He is going to either be well worth that pick or not worth it at all. So, and a lot of that depends on Gurley, but I'm fine drafting Gurley in the second round.
Okay, where are you at on Melvin Gordon and his situation?
That one's tricky. This isn't the same situation as, say, Le'Veon Bell. Like, I wouldn't expect Melvin Gordon to miss the entire season. I would not be shocked if he missed regular season games. At some point, he needs to return in order to keep his free agency status in check for, you know, the upcoming season. But at this point, he's coming off the board late second round. I've actually seen him go off the board in the third round in some drafts.
Wow.
Because he seems dug in. The Chargers seem dug in. And they do have Austin Eckler and Justin Jackson, who both performed admirably when Gordon was out of action last season. So he's going to be drafted. He's not going to be a top five pick, which he was before the holdout had started. But if you get him, again, it's all about insuring yourself. Try and get Eckler, or at least have backfield depth. But that situation is a little worrisome to me, because I wouldn't be surprised if Gordon does miss time during the regular season. Maybe not the whole season, like Le'Veon Bell, as I mentioned, it's a different scenario, but he could miss regular season games.
Do you see Ezekiel Elliott in the same mold? I know you're a Cowboy guy, and I kind of...
I don't. You know, the deeper we get into camp and, you know, he's still not there, then you get a little bit worried, but I haven't moved him.
Yeah.
I really feel like where the Chargers and Gordon seem to be on different pages in terms of the money, I feel like the Cowboys know Ezekiel Elliott is the centerpiece of that offense and a very valuable asset. And Jerry Jones has even said so much that he's not concerned about, you know, the impending contracts that he'll have to be dealing with in terms of Cooper and Zeke and Dak Prescott. So I haven't moved Zeke yet. Now, if we get into the middle of August and he hasn't come to camp, then maybe I move him down past Christian McCaffrey or an Alvin Kamara or a Le'Veon Bell. But I still see him being a first-round pick. I just feel like he's in a different situation than even Gordon, and he's still got 2 years left on his contract. He's really not eligible to be a free agent until 2021. So I have less concerns about Zeke, but again, you know, it's another situation where you want to insure yourself. Now, the Cowboys' number two running back isn't set in stone by any stretch of the imagination, but it looks like Tony Pollard is the favorite handcuff for Zeke should a worst-case scenario happen and he does miss regular season games. But right now, I don't see that.
So to back up on this, Michael, with Gurley being taken later and Melvin Gordon being mm-hmm. taken later, who's ascended so far in these drafts? You're like, wow, this guy is really starting to pick up a lot of steam and getting drafted earlier because of the two uncertainties.
Well, Henderson and Eckler, and then Justin Jackson is now being drafted, whereas before he wasn't being drafted at all. Tony Pollard's actually moved up, too. I've seen him. It's not a significant move, but he is being drafted in a lot of leagues, whereas before the Zeke holdout, he wasn't being drafted at all. Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson at the running back position are also moving up in the first round because Gurley has dropped out of the first round. Gordon has dropped out of the first round. So now you're looking at Lev Bell being potentially a top five pick. You're looking at David Johnson potentially being a top eight pick. And if Le'Veon Bell or David Johnson, neither one of those guys strike your fancy, then you know, you could see Nuke Hopkins or Davante Adams picked fifth or sixth overall in your leagues.
On the quarterback end, Michael, so this year, this every year we go through this where there's quarterbacks that on a fantasy side of things, it looks like they're going to start to regress. And you and I are on the same page here of don't draft quarterbacks early. Is this the year where guys like Brady and Breeze and Rodgers are not guys that you're going to go reach for early or go after early because they are on the back end? Is this just an every year conversation? Where are you at on those three in particular?
So Rodgers, I don't see. I think Rodgers still has plenty left. And he was the QB6 last season, and I get it. He wasn't what we were all hoping he'd be. But, I mean, he was still the QB6. And remember, he had a lot of young wide receivers. And those guys, like, for example, Geronimo Allison and Marquez Valdez-Scantling, like, these guys now have a year of experience under their belt. And playing in an offense with Aaron Rodgers isn't going to do nothing but benefit them. So I still have Rodgers as the second quarterback to come off the board, although it's close with him, Andrew Luck, and Deshaun Watson. I was on NFL Total Access last night, and I was talking about players that you might want to avoid. And two of those players were two of the guys you mentioned, Tom Brady and Drew Brees. Now, Brady last year was the QB14, a disappointing. He's 42 years old. He just had a birthday. He just got an extension, so yeah. Life is good for Tom Brady. But he's a regressing fantasy player. His fantasy points per game average has dropped in three straight seasons. His touchdown passes, his passing yards, on average, all worse in games without Rob Gronkowski since Gronkowski came into the league. He's averaging around three fewer fantasy points per game in his career without Rob Gronkowski. He is a guy now that I would draft maybe in the last three or four rounds. And I wouldn't expect him to sort of become that elite fantasy quarterback that he once was, especially with the weapons that he has right now. We don't know what's going on with Josh Gordon. The number two wide receiver could be N'Keal Harry, who's a rookie, or it could be Maurice Harris. I mean, the names just don't jump out at you. And in terms of Brady, in terms of Breeze, now, he's 40 years old, and I got into a good conversation about this last night with Sean O'Hara because Sean is still a big Breeze fan. And I love Drew Brees. I've won championships with Drew Brees.
Yep.
But you want to be ahead of the curve. He's 40 years old. His passing attempts and his passing yards have declined in three straight years. The Saints have decreased their pass play rate in four straight years. Last year, fewest pass attempts since, I believe, 2005 when he was with the San Diego Chargers. And when you look at Breeze's numbers, home and road outdoors, he averaged 25 fantasy points a game at home last season. He averaged fewer than 15 in outdoor road games.
Mm.
And in his last four games of 2018, he averaged 11 points. I just feel like the trend is they're not going to put as much of the onus of the offense on Drew Brees. He's going to have big games, especially at home. We all know that. But in terms of being a consistent, reliable fantasy quarterback, I feel like that is going to be a problem. In fact, I have, and you're ready for this, Cardinals fans, Kyler Murray ranked ahead of Tom Brady and Drew Brees. I have a very unhealthy fantasy man crush on Kyler Murray.
He hasn't taken a snap yet. Oh my gosh, you need therapy.
I love him.
Jeez.
I need therapy. I love him. he's my 10th rated quarterback right now. And here's a couple of the reasons why. So first off, that offense, and we've got to see how Kingsbury's offense sort of looks at the pro level. But when you look at running as many plays offensively as the Cardinals are projecting, that's a lot of opportunities for that quarterback to score fantasy points. And also, when you look back at, say, like the last decade or so, or two decades, almost all of the rookie quarterbacks who have made major fantasy impacts had a lot of success running with the football, right? So, you know, Cam Newton, for example, Robert Griffin III, Dak Prescott, Vince Young. I mean, there's a lot of really good quarterbacks, first-year quarterbacks, who thrive for fantasy owners because of what they can do on the ground. And Kyler Murray's coming off a season with over 1,000 rushing yards and 12 touchdowns. And all of the reports, whether it be from beat writers or players or coaches, have all been glowing on this guy. Now, maybe I'll be wrong, and maybe he's going to struggle. He's a rookie, so there are going to be growing pains. But I just feel like what he can do, especially with those feet, make him a big-time sleeper-slash-breakout candidate this season.
Do you remember the time I stood with you at the NFL Network Studios and put my elbow on your head and we took a picture together?
I do. There is a picture of that somewhere also.
Yes. You are taller than Kyler Murray. So just so we're fair with each other on this.
Listen.
You are.
Hey, you know what? That's fine with me. I'm taller than Maurice Jones-Drew, too, and he was a hell of a fantasy running back. And I get it. It's different running back, quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, Russell Wilson's not all that tall. Doug Flutie wasn't all that tall. Drew Brees isn't all that tall. So, listen, man, there's exceptions to every rule. And the way that I look at it, if he's small, he's elusive, he's quick, and he's going to get me a lot of yards on the ground.
A couple other questions. This is from the mailbag, and I'll get you out of here. I appreciate your time. Michael Fabiano with us, NFL Network senior fantasy analyst. So, Mahomes or Mayfield? Got a lot of questions this morning on that one. Mahomes or Mayfield?
Yeah, it's Mahomes. I love Mayfield, and there's no reason not to, especially with the addition of OBJ. And that offense is going to be a lot of fun. But, I mean, Mahomes is coming off the best season any quarterback has ever had from a fantasy perspective. And we all were a little concerned about Tyreek Hill, and Tyreek Hill was not suspended. And is regression possible for Mahomes? Yeah, the dude had 50 touchdowns last season. But even if he goes for 4,845 touchdowns, that's still a hell of a season for fantasy owners. So Mahomes is still the guy. And honestly, it's not close. Mahomes is the only quarterback that's going in the top 40. Everybody else is going outside of the top 50.
And last one is, what about the rest of the Cardinal cast around Kyler Murray? You know, David needs to bounce back. He just needs to be used, in my opinion, David Johnson. I think Christian Kirk's a really good sleeper sitting around out here. What's the view from your end on the fantasy side of the rest of the Cardinal offense, Michael?
Yeah, so again, I mentioned that David's now going in the top six or seven picks, right around, you know, where we were seeing Gordon go. And I do expect him to bounce back. I do expect him to be more reliable, because he was a top 10 running back last season, but he was ridiculously inconsistent. And I think part of the reason was he wasn't used correctly, and the offensive line had question marks. I think that, especially with the number of plays that, you know, the Cardinals offense is projected to run moving forward here under Kingsbury, I think he's going to be just fine. And I don't know that he'll be the same running back he was a couple of seasons ago, but he'll be pretty good. I agree with you with Christian Kirk. I think he's a really good sleeper. I still would draft Larry Fitzgerald ahead of him. I feel like Fitzgerald is going to be that safety blanket for Kyler Murray in the passing game. But Christian Kirk, certainly a guy that has the kind of upside in that offense who could be and meet the expectations of a fantasy sleeper. I'm also seeing Andy Isabella drafted late in a lot of PPR leagues, which at this point, most leagues are PPR leagues. I'm hearing a lot of buzz around Keyshawn Johnson, and he's a player that, while I don't know that I would draft him in a redraft, he's certainly a dynasty league play, and he's someone to just watch and see, because there are a lot of mouths to feed in that Cardinals offense. So that is going to be, along with the Browns, one of the most exciting offenses to watch in 2019, and I'm certainly looking forward to it. So I've got a lot riding on Kyler Murray. I've got a lot riding on David Johnson from a fantasy perspective. And I think this offense is going to have some very valuable assets for fantasy owners this season.
I can't wait for September 8th, because Matt Patricia coming here in Kyler Murray's first game, Detroit, Arizona. It's not the sexiest matchup, I get it. But it's just, you know, on paper, the defensive mind trying to slow down what they're attempting to do out here. It's just going to be great.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be tremendous. And again, you know, it's all sort of about whether or not Kingsbury's offense is going to work at this level. You know, there's some people out there who have questions about whether or not Kingsbury is ready to be a head coach at the NFL level, but I am certainly excited to watch him prove some of those naysayers wrong. And we all know that yards and touchdowns and plays are very valuable in fantasy football, and Kingsbury's offense could provide us with a whole heck of a lot of all three of those things coming into this season.
Good stuff as always, Michael. Thanks for the visit.
All right, my man. Take care.
Michael Fabiano with us, NFL Network Senior Fantasy Analyst, checking in. Our first time here for the coming season. That was so good. It's fun stuff. On the other side, I'm going to dive back into some college news. Yogi Roth, during that interview, reached out, and he's going to be pushed back here a little bit in the show. So we'll get Yogi on, but we'll have an open segment next. Stay with us. All right, there's a few stories that I want to get caught up on here, and one of them involves a former high school player in the Valley named Alex Lewis, who has been with the Baltimore Ravens, and he was cut this morning. Alex played, his dad Bill played in the NFL with the Raiders and other teams, Cardinals for a bit. Alex was a very serviceable player, but this guy's is the business of football, this story. It's why I'm bringing it up. You may think, like, Brad, where are you going with this? But Alex Lewis was injured during the end of the year in the playoffs. And he was there for 3 years. He passed his physical, and this morning the team released him. The reason they released him, although they haven't said this outwardly, but it's being reported in Baltimore, is he didn't make himself available to the Ravens this offseason to rehab his shoulder. He decided to do it away from the team. 10 days ago, John Harbaugh said he looked strong and was moving well. Harbaugh anticipated Lewis returning early August, but added we were given a date by his doctor. Again, I am a guy that sides with the players almost 100% of the time now. It's almost, I'm like 99% of the time, it's not the player's deal. It is usually ownership that has their way of being heavy-handed and heavy-fisted, right down to having their team doctors, their team physicians, their team this, their team that, tell somebody what to do. And you're just supposed to go along with it because it's the team. And that's not how medicine should work. Just because a team doctor says this is, and I've seen this happen through the years, well, this looks like a torn this or a torn that. And then, well, it's actually a slight tear, big difference. Doctor ends up doing the surgery. Us media guys say which doctor it is. Us media guys put said doctor on the air, give said doctor free publicity. Said doctor goes on nice vacation. Said doctor through the prescription world is giving prescriptions to player after player after player. Said doctor is invited to go speak at conventions and events. Said doctor is getting taken care of because they are so much aligned with one another. Healthcare in sports is a big deal in this day and age. Going to your primary care physician rather than, oh, you got to go to the team doc. Team doc's going to tell you what. No, I need a second opinion. I need a third opinion. And it shouldn't be where a guy ends up fearing for their job or having their job taken away from. Now, can Alex Lewis still play? I don't know. I haven't seen him up close. He was serviceable with Baltimore. Terrell Suggs was his teammate. Could Steve Keim go downstairs and say, T. Sizzle, do you remember this guy? What did you think of this guy? Do you think this guy could come here and help us out? Because, guys, it's not like the Cardinals are loaded on their offensive line from top to bottom. It's not. So this is a name that actually would make sense to me as camp goes on. When, not if, when players start going down. When players start getting hurt, because it's going to happen, and you're going to need depth, and you're going to need to build up. So that story caught my eye.
I thought it was interesting, Brad, when we had Byron Murphy in studio, what was it, like a month ago?
Yeah.
And we were talking to him off camera, either before or after the interview, and I was asking him about his off season and what's been the biggest adjustment, and he mentioned to us his weight and how the Cardinals want him to be at 185 pounds.
Not 184, and if not 186.
And if he's over 185, $10,000 fine. Like, that shows you how streamlined these players have to be. I mean, they're under the organizational rule. I understand that. But in a way, are they like robots? I mean, they want, you know, you need to be 185. Hey, I came in at 187. Sorry, fine you.
OK, Okay, so, and the part of the story, and I don't know if you left this out intentionally or not, is he'd rather be heavier.
Right.
That's the part.
Sure.
That's the part of the story that, to me,
because that was his knock coming out of college, was he's
slight.
Yeah, he's slight.
Yeah. And so I think he knows his body. It's not like he is going to, if he comes in at 190, is he not going to be able to perform?
Right.
I mean, during the course of an NFL season, you shed weight. Guys shed weight.
And he has grown since the draft.
Yeah.
He's probably at maybe a quarter or a half inch taller than he was when I saw him before the draft.
Now, I get it.
February.
I get it. On the other side of the street, the Cardinals could be watching this and say, you know, you guys don't know what you're talking about. You're not doctors. Who are you?
Well, and I shouldn't just say the Cardinals. Maybe that's how it is around the NFL.
No,
maybe
sure
all
is.
The teams have a real stringent plan when it comes to weight, but you usually hear it more with linemen. You don't necessarily hear about it with cornerbacks.
Well, it's just the idea of it's your body. It's a give and take. You have to trust. If Alex Lewis wanted to go rehab with a doctor who wasn't the team doctor, or if he wanted to rehab in Phoenix and he's playing in Baltimore, should that be held against him? I don't know. All I know is I thought he was a pretty quality player from what I had read and heard. I only saw Baltimore a couple times last season, but that was a name that caught my eye, and he popped loose. The other story is, this is on Camp Tonizona starting. So Camp Tonizona gets going today for Arizona State football. And Camp T, as they call it, it's fine. It's great for anybody who's been to Camp Tonizona following ASU football back in the days of Frank Cush. It has to be that you have to go to Camp Tonizona. It just has to be. You're in the forest. You can bond. You can do this. You can do that. It all sounds great. And all that I would say on the Camp Tonizona thing is, please give me the wins and losses in the last 25 years combined of what the team looks like when they go to Camp Tonizona, and then tell me that it really has made a big difference. I'm not being critical of Herm Edwards taking his team up there today. It's fine. They can do what they want. They're not going to play a game in the elevation in the forest with a couple hundred fans around, and they'll announce a couple thousand, but they're not going to do that during the regular season. To me, Camp Tonizona was something that made a lot of sense back in the day. And actually, it would make some sense to go do a spring workout, go up there in May, go up there in April, and pacify the alums that are still hanging on to the way that it was in the past. And that's it. The idea of going up there and getting 5 good days of work, because it's just the way it is. Every August, they have to run for it. Every August, they have to pack up trucks and go to Rumsey Park and sit there on a sweat box in Rumsey Park and then run back, and practices get canceled, and they can say the field is in great shape and it looks fine. But this has not led to W's and L's on the field. It hasn't. And that's not hating. Some of you like to run around and say, Brad just hates on Arizona State. You tell me how many bowl games, big bowl games, you've been to since Jake Plummer left. You give me the wins and losses since Jake Plummer left. It's been a program mired in mediocrity. So this weekend, when Herm Edwards is there in the crowd and Kevin Mawai is on stage and just killing it, and that's why I said when Todd had to go, that Ray is doing the right thing. Look at where they are a year later, coming into season number 2. And what do you know? All over social media, oh, man, who wouldn't want to be a Sun Devil? Oh, my gosh, this is the greatest move ever. And it's like, yeah, trust the process. Hanging on to old habits just because they've been done doesn't guarantee success. I mean, I think the program today is in far, far, far better shape on a number of fronts than it was in the last 5 years, 8 years. It's not even close. So, you know, go to Camp Tonizona, knock yourself out if you have to go up there, but just understand, fans are not the ones in the business of having to pack up all the gear. If I were to tell you each coach that I talked to through the years that was at Camp T that would stand there and curse under their breath, I'm at this bleeping place because this bleep, this bleep, this bleep, and there was more than one. So, you know, if it gives you victories and it gives you victories late in the season over Utah and USC, and you go to Michigan State and you win, and you're going to say it's because you went to Camp Tanazona versus working in the practice bubble or working outdoors. Use the outdoors to your advantage. Use the heat to your advantage. So Camp T's going on. Yeah, I'll go up there. It's fine. Saturday will be fine. Saturday will be packed with fans. It'll be great for those fans. They'll get their itch scratched. There'll be fans on top of fans on top of fans. It'll be fun for kids. It'll be something different to do. But winning games should be the priority, not pacifying the people that come to the stadium. Stadiums are outdated. Being at your home, being at a sports bar, watching your games online, that's where it's at. The Pac-12, going back to what I started the show with, the Pac-12 has every right and should move games to 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. They should. The fact that they've said today now, six-day window is going to apply, should tell you all you need to know about this. This is not that hard. And the other thing this week is, yeah, it's the first preseason game for the Cardinals, your Cardinals. And Cliff Kingsbury was asked over the weekend how many plays about, and it was Pedro that asked the question. It was very good. Pedro said, you know, this is like, he kind of took a shot, I think, or they were just having some fun. He said, I always get a hard time when Mark Dalton, their PR guy over there, gives him a hard time about using baseball analogies. But Pedro said, is Kyler somewhat on a pitch count? And which is a very fair question to ask. And Cliff said, yeah, he could go 3 plays. He could go 10 plays. It really just depends. We want him to have some success. We want to get him out of there. Great. So make sure you get to the game 2 hours early. Get to your seat, because if he has 3 good plays, it's over. And the rest of the game, you're watching backups. That's how it is. And that starts this Thursday. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. He does a great job. Eric Sorensen is our senior executive vice president of Everything or Nothing. He does a tremendous job. I was average today. Thanks to Michael Fabiano. Yogi Roth is going to join us at a later time, and we will have him. We're going to turn our attention now to working on content on the website, sports360az.com. We also will work on our television show on Fox Sports Arizona, which has 12 airings per week. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. Have yourself a great Monday.